And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me that in you that work iniquity. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You know, you have to be known of him. If he doesn't know you when you get there, it's because you aren't his brother. His brothers are like him. Verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. I was a little distracted reading that because I realized I referred to Philippians 2, but it's actually this chapter. That shows you how much I read ahead, because I really don't. In Philippians 2, the one I was thinking about is, you know, let the mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion of the man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. But this is the place where it talks about taking on the nature, not of angels, but of the seed of Abraham. The nature of men. And that's similar to what I was saying in Philippians, but it didn't really talk about in contrast with angels. So I definitely made a wrong reference there. Verse 12 is from Psalm 22. I will declare thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, the church, I will praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. That's Psalm 22. Eli, Eli, lama azaftani. The scripture that Jesus quoted on the cross when he felt forsaken by God. But the message of the scripture is that God has not forsaken. Though we may feel forsaken and lost, God does not forsake us. I always hate when people talk about God turned his back on Jesus on the cross. I don't agree with that. In fact, the scripture he quoted says that God doesn't do that. And they make a big deal of, oh, he can't look on sin and blah, 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 blah. I just don't see that. It doesn't make sense because Christ was as much God as the Father. And if he became sin for us, what, did God become sin? Well, yeah. Well, the one that God the Father had to forsake him because he was sin on the cross? You know, it's a figure anyways. He just died. I don't see it as like there's a magical process going on. You understand? Every standard and everything is set up by God. God doesn't have to satisfy something. Like the death on the cross is only necessary because God says it's necessary. Like, the reason blood takes away sin, the blood of Jesus, is not because, like, the blood is magical and has inherent magical properties that God has investigated. No, it's because God says so. That's all. The only reason. If Jesus, he didn't literally become sin and God's like, oh, Lord, I can't look. No, he became sin because God says, now he represents sin for us, for you, for us humans. God says, he became sin for you, that you may be made the righteousness of God in him. He declared it. So he doesn't have to run away from it. And plus, Psalm 22 says, God did not hide his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. So I say, when Gethsemane, when he cried to God, he felt genuinely. as he expressed himself. He was obedient, though, because his faith remained. And same thing, it's like, just because I've said fellow times, God's forsaken me. But deep down, I knew he hadn't. Though I can't stop the feeling of it. We talked about that in 2 Corinthians. I don't want to beat a dead dog. I will put my trust in him. What would that be? That's a scripture from 2 Samuel 22, verse 3. Isaiah 8. I and the children with God had given me, offer signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. When they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek to their God? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. And like I said, it's like, now some people, funny thing is, I read before a verse that makes it exclusive. The angels are different than men. And then here they'll read this and they say, oh, the children are partakers of flesh and blood. That means the angels come down and partake of flesh and blood. That's not what it means. The word partake means, it's koinoneo. It means to share with others. We share in the flesh and blood experience. But it doesn't have any other connotation beyond what it simply says. We are going to become his sons. We have power to become the sons of God. We are not the sons of God become men. We are the men who become the sons. That's what people confuse. They think that the angels, who are called the sons of God in the Old Testament, the angels became men and then become sons of God again. But that's not right. It's not how the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches that that is not first, which is spiritual, but that which is carnal. I mean, our experience is first carnal and then spiritual. Not spiritual, carnal, spiritual. You know, spiritual, carnal, spiritual. Like it was spiritual first, then carnal, then spiritual. No, we begin as carnal, and we end up as spiritual. We who become his sons, who are to become the brethren of Christ, we partake of flesh and blood. He's bringing us to glory through flesh and blood. That is how he has determined he should do it. There are other ways he could have just made us from scratch like the angels, right? But he did not.